Welcome to the Introspection and Banter podcast. I'm Anthony.
I'm Gabe.
And tonight we have our special guest.
One day, Anthony. One day we'll be able to go through the intro without anyone talking out of turn.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. It's a tradition at this point.
Nice.
So we have Danny Boy with us today.
Yep. So what have you guys been up to this week?
I've been dying.
Yeah, you have. I've been working on coding a video game.
Oh, nice. Is this with the new Unity? Or sorry, not Unity, Unreal Engine?
No, I actually took a step back. I'm going to my roots. I've been using... So there's this application that I found quite a few years ago called Corona SDK. And it was basically this program or this platform to use Lua to code video games for mobile devices. Mm. And it was really interesting to me because not only did it have a really good tutorial, it was completely free, very easy to set up and use. The platform and program itself actually had a simulator that you could customize and set up with different specs of like actual real phones. So you could see your game coming to life in real time as you programmed it or coded it. So yeah, I've gone back to that platform to try and just do some shit, you know, get my coding skills a little brushed up.
Nice.
Funny enough, they actually changed their name. They are no longer called Corona SDK, I'm sure for obvious reasons. They're now known as, I think, Solar 2D. But it's all the same shit.
I never got into coding.
It's not for everybody.
Learned a little bit of HTML back in high school, that's about it. And CSS.
I can Photoshop.
You do know how to Photoshop. Anthony makes all of our, all of our thumbnails.
Thumbnails.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're basically the same thing, you know. One just, takes a little longer and is less fun, I guess. The game itself is I was trying to make like an RPG card game hybrid.
RPG
trying card. To do Wait, something. Danny, do you make games?
Well, I'm trying to. I can't say that I make games. I attempt to
make games. Because Gabe and I were looking for somebody to make a game for us at some point in the future.
Were we?
Yes, Gabe. You remember this discussion?
No, but continue.
It was a fishing game.
Oh. Yeah, I remember now.
A fishing game.
Waifu fishing game.
What the fuck? Is it like a visual novel type deal where you're a fisherman or some shit and you're fishing up like girls to date?
Yeah, you're fishing girls from the monster girls from the river.
And then what do you like fight them?
We didn't get that far.
Oh.
Yeah, I just think that fishing games are generally fun, and I'd like to see some more of them. Like, they're usually just mini games. Like Persona 5, Nier Automata.
Any video game where I see there's a fishing mini game immediately gains points in my eyes.
Bro, fishing is the greatest. Is so fun.
Yeah.
I remember back in the day, like my Steam, you know, Steam would like say your top 5 tags or whatever.
Yeah.
It was literally just like hentai shit. And then it was just fishing. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Because fishing is like, I used to play like a lot of Fishing Planet back in the day.
Yeah. Fishing's also pretty lewd.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you penetrated a fish's mouth with like a hook.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I like that it takes the time to appreciate the environment too. Creates an ambiance, scenery. You have to take time out of your day to do it.
Yeah, it's calming. No.
Yeah.
And you gotta
Although there are some action.
An action?
Yeah, like you gotta like repeatedly hit the buttons to catch the fish.
The Fire Emblem Three Houses game is like the fishing game in that one is like fast paced because you gotta like catch the fish in the right hole, I guess. Like when the circle's shrinking, you gotta hit the A button properly. Just really like fishing game. Well, a lot of fishing mechanics are like rhythm games.
I feel like the biggest thing to make a fishing game fun, or like specifically a fishing mini game, is you want to make the mechanics of the actual game interesting and interactive, whatever. The reward and payoff, though, should be like the key aspect to focus on. Because I'm thinking of like all the like fishing mini games I've played across all different games. And a lot of times it'll be something like, oh, you know, the fish can be used for food, or you can sell it, or some bullshit like that. But there are very few games that actually give you like a good incentive to actually do a shit ton of fishing, if not just for the fun of it in itself. Like, I remember in Guilty Gear,
the new Sonic game.
There's a fishing game in the new Sonic game?
Yeah, and my cousin told me that he's trying to max out his character just from doing the fishing minigame. He said, I've put 4 hours into this game. 2 hours have just been fishing.
Jesus. What do you get from fishing?
It told me, like, stat boosts, power-ups, stuff he can sell to make money.
You see, like, now that's interesting.
Maybe like even that. More interesting?
Hmm.
Monster Girls. Hence why I brought this up to Anthony the other day. Monster Girl fishing game. That's what we really need.
So, I'm just trying to understand like what the gameplay loop is going to look like for this. I could see it as like a mobile game, right? As like a gacha type S game almost. Where there's like an RPG element on top of just the fishing. Like the fishing and the RPG are two separate things. But the fishing is also like a gacha system.
The fishing
I title this episode Danny Makes Us Millionaires.
A gacha fishing game. Oh my god. I would say write that down, but there's already going to be a recording of it, so.
I can't wait for the seasonal events. Halloween, I actually want it to be scary. Like, it's not going to be cute, no. Well, I mean, there's going to be cuteness to it, but it's going to be scary, too.
Yeah, the SSR is like an Eldritch Abominate. It's a deep one.
It's going to be like a gender-swapped freaking image of Rip Jaws from Ben 10.
Oh my god.
You're gonna catch a waifu that doesn't speak English. No, it's going to be like just a bunch of scribbles across your screen. And she's just going to be this dark being that you can't comprehend.
A Cthulhu spawn.
And she's going to have massive titties.
Obviously.
Yes.
That's a selling point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that working. That'd be dope.
We're gonna make millions.
Yeah. Mark it down. What does theoretical gacha game even be called, though? Fishing for waifus seems a little too on the nose.
Yeah.
Anchor Babes is out too.
Huh.
Can't use anchor. Oh.
Love bait.
Love bait? I kind of like that, actually. Alright, we'll go with the current working title of Love Bait.
Love Bait. We'll do what Project Triangle Strategy did. Call it the project title and then never fucking change it when the game releases.
Yo, this game is dope.
Oh my god.
Our discussion kind of reminds me of that one visual simulator or visual dating game that 4chan made.
Oh, fucking Katawa Shoujo.
Broken Girls or whatever. Yeah.
I have to finish that game.
Wait, 4chan made that game?
A group of 4chan guys got together for literally that one game and then never made anything else ever again.
Interesting.
Yes. Yeah, it started because a hentai artist from one of his doujinshis from the 2000s. It was a Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind doujinshi. He had a page dedicated to the idea for a visual novel with what'd you call them? Handicapped girls? I'm not sure.
Disabled, yeah.
Yeah, disabled girls. And then they shared it on 4chan. People loved the idea so much that a group of, like, gosh, I don't know how many people. They made it a game within like 5 years.
Huh.
Dedication.
Damn. New lore unlocked.
Pretty interesting. It was also called Four Leaf Studio.
Tatawa Shoujo? Yeah, bro. It's great.
I remember that game. It was pretty fucking popular on some parts of the internet for a while. I say some parts, but we all know what parts.
Yeah. The parts we all like fucking grew up watching.
Yeah, I heard it had really great story.
It really
did. I played it a little bit. It did. I only played certain routes on my review.
I don't know which routes were you playing.
I remember Blind Girl and Burnt Girl.
Oh, you know, damn. You know how what's it called? You could deactivate the hentai scenes, right?
Yeah.
Some people,
which I of course did.
Yeah, obviously. We were minors. You can't look at that film.
I was there for the story, you know.
Yeah, obviously. The funny thing is it would replace the scenes of like random images of food, I think, in one update. And like people were saying how fucked up it was that since it was random that sometimes it would be like fried food whenever it was like the burnt girl's scenes. And just like, bro, could you just imagine like fried tempura just showing up randomly where you're about to, like,
God, that's bad. That's really, really bad. Oh man.
It was a different time.
Yeah.
Golden age.
It was the wrong time.
God. Visual novels are great.
Yeah, there's a couple out there that are pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I want to play more mystery based ones like Danganronpa and Phoenix Wright, because technically those are considered visual novel games.
I feel like sorry, go on.
Oh, I played Danganronpa 1 and 2.
They're good.
I feel like fucking Yuri visual novel that I've come across is always the same bullshit. Like, there's a mystery going on at this school. We must figure out what the supernatural happenings are. While also...
The mystery is who's fucking gay.
It's like that one
also
meme.
Danny.
Yeah.
Oh, you would. If you want a good visual novel, Steins Gate's pretty fun.
I've heard, but God, I don't know. I've watched so many different shows and I played so many different games where time travel has been a concept in it.
Yeah.
And I've seen some mediums take it to like next level complexity. I don't know. Sometimes I don't want my brain to be active for all of that because that shit gets kind of hard to track of.
That's reasonable. I think Steins Gate does one of the best storytelling for a time travel series.
I think I legitimately gave the anime like 2 tries, but I don't think I got past like the second episode before like almost falling asleep. I'm definitely going to try again because I know it does get way better and it gets super like interesting with the story and how it presents itself. I just really need to be in the right frame of mind for it, I guess.
The right
Fair hand enough. Spot. What does that mean? Frame of mind?
Not fucking stoned.
God. Damn, you're never going to watch it then.
Shut the fuck up. No, I'm definitely going to watch it one day. Make a day of it, you know?
I should let you know, I thought the game was better just because it goes into more detail about theories for time travel and paradoxes.
I only know one thing about Steins Gate.
Yeah.
I think I already know what you're going to say.
Yeah, I feel it too. Because I do remember that. Yeah. Yeah, there's a... Yeah.
With a cute cross-dressing twink in it. That's all I know.
Yeah, there is. Maybe the visual novel would be a better way to enjoy the experience.
Medium's always like fun to see like how the adaptation changes things. Some people are good at just, adapting things in a way that works with the new medium that it's in, but sometimes the formats, once it's changed, don't actually like work well with the story or the source material at all.
Damn, like good. How CGI is...
Sorry, we'll go on.
I was going to say like how CGI has gotten better over the years.
I was thinking more of like how some of Junji Ito's work, like once you turn it from like the page to like the screen doesn't have like the same bunches.
Because like, with the pages, you flip it and like it's a jump scare.
Yeah. How do you transmit that on the screen? You would have to do it a certain way, but how do you translate indescribable horrors onto the screen where you have to actually show something, you know?
Yeah, there's certain things that I feel like you said, don't translate well into animation just because of what it's supposed to present, or like the nature of the content itself. Like Doro Idoro, for example, you know, for anybody who doesn't know as watching or listening to this, Doro Idoro is this anime about a guy with a lizard head. It's on Netflix. You may have heard of it. You may have heard of it. You may have not. There's a scene in that manga, because I've read the manga first before watching the anime, where a character is presented that is wearing a mask and a tight leather bodysuit that is armored. And this character is like this massive, hulking, intimidating figure, and you see them crushing guys and just like going on a murderous kill spree. And later when that character takes off their mask, they are revealed to be this incredibly beautiful woman. And that's supposed to be like a big reveal in the manga. But in the anime, the moment you see that character for the first time on screen and they're talking, you hear a female's voice, you automatically know it's a female. Yeah. So I feel like it kind of ruins the reveal just by the nature of the medium it's in.
There was a, what do you call this? Recently, Guillermo del Toro did an adaptation of Pikmin's Model. For those who don't know, Pikmin's Model is an H.P. Lovecraft story. The whole like shtick of the story is that Pikmin draws like these like horrific creatures and these abominations on his canvases, and that's all he like does for his artwork. And people often, like, everyone in the story, like, some of his friends criticize him for this. Like, why would you, like, draw, like, these disturbing things that come from your, like, mind? And the whole, like, twist at the end is that the guy finds out that Pikmin has a photograph. And it turns out everything he's drawn is an actual creature. He hangs out with, like, night gaunts and ghouls. And they show him, like, these horrific things. Or he draws the ghouls themselves. And it's... obviously, they're horrific creatures. I think at the end, it's like some horrific dog type thing. I don't know if it's like a Tyndalos hound or what, but
that sounds amazing. I need to see this.
Guillermo del Toro's version, I think, I haven't watched it myself, but from what I've been told, is that it's less about like, oh, these things are real, and more of look at it, these horrific things this guy draws. Which I know it's on the like Lovecraft subreddit, there was this debate on like maybe they changed it just to fit with the medium, because I don't know, maybe that doesn't work as well once you're like adapting it for like Netflix or whatever. But at the same time, someone said it kind of loses the punch that the original story would have had. Kind of like like here's one that involves, people have talked about how Kafka's sentence structure in German kind of like hides things. Like, the twist is always at towards the end of the sentence. Like you don't find out, maybe, like, the guy's a cockroach till, like, the end of the sentence, and then, like, huh. Thing is, once you translate that to, like, another language, it kind of loses that structure.
Yeah.
As well.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, some things just can't be translated too well. It'd be like that.
It'll be like that. Some things don't leave the page well. By the way, highly recommend, I started only recently watching it. I highly recommend Guillermo del Toro's new series on Netflix.
What's it called?
Which one?
Something Oddities.
Something Oddities.
Just type in Guillermo del Toro new Netflix series. I'm sure it'll pop up.
Yeah.
Have you seen Pinocchio yet?
No.
Okay.
Is that him?
I was wondering if it was good.
Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities. My bad.
Oh, it's on my watch list.
All right. We'll definitely give it a check later. Mm-hmm. I love creepy shit.
Creepy shit is always good shit.
It's always good shit.
When it's done well.
Yeah, well, for anything.
That'd be true.
Speaking of things that need to be done well, Spider-Man.
Oh, Spider-Man.
Not been doing too great. on Marvel Comics itself, but you know, in movies he does not miss.
I was gonna say the whole industry has not been great.
No, yeah, Spider-Man as a character has been, you know, dropped and picked back up multitudes of times. I'd say right now, based on general consensus of the Spider-Man fandom of what I've seen, is that current Marvel editorials do not know what they're doing with the character.
Sounds about right. About on par with Marvel in the last fucking 10 years, I would say.
Yeah, comics are at a low point. Comics in general are just at a low point.
I feel like the same thing that happened to like the Latin American comic book industry is happening to the American comic book industry. They were essentially like pushed out by the American comic book industry. You know, like all our like native comics kind of like lost its flair when American comics started being translated into Spanish. So like, why bother reading about Águila Solitaria or what's it called, El Mascarado de Plata, when you can learn about Spider-Man and all this stuff that were at the time, you know,
Spider-Man cooler, in Spanish,
cooler, better production quality. So people gravitated to that naturally. Now we have the same thing happening, except now instead of like American comics, it's people are gravitating to either independent stuff like Webtoon and shit or Japanese shit.
Webtoons is doing really Japanese well for shit. Itself.
Yes.
I did not expect that from Webtoons either. I was like, oh yeah, this is going to be done in like a couple years.
That's because there's like 50 million apps just like it. And like all the other apps are like fucking ass.
There has already been three series from Webtoons that have become actual animations.
Let me see. Some of them are live adaptations too. I think True Beauty got a live adaptation.
That is something that makes me so happy. Because I know that it's not a big team of people making these comics. Like, it might be now for some of these comics that have gotten bigger. Like, they might have like an actual studio dedicated to producing them just because they've gotten so large in popularity. But for sure, this started as some, you know, dude or girl's passion project. Just, you know, in their free time, drawing some panels, drawing, like, making up a story. And then enough people liked it. And within a few years, dude, you have your own TV show? That is so dope.
I am so like happy that I was able to see a random drawing on Inked during Inktober about this cute little witch boy and cute little witch girl that eventually would become the characters for Hookie that would eventually become such a big webtoon.
Yeah. I still gotta go back and finish that. I never finished
it. So do I. And the problem was when I went back to go finish it, apparently on Webtoon it's a pay for a chapter now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm definitely going to pay for it. I swear. I promise.
Me too.
Yeah.
Anthony, I'm getting callbacks to like that our other episode.
Put a fucking car in the background?
Yeah, my bad, bro.
Yo, park your car, bro.
Sorry, bro.
I'm driving while on the podcast.
The one about like sailing the high seas.
Oh. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's a pirate's life for me.
You wouldn't download a car, would you, Anthony? That's why it's in the background, man, Danny. I'm currently downloading it.
Yeah. He's got the 3D printer out. Download a what?
Irons just start blaring in the background.
Oh, man.
Jesus. Yeah, you ever see that, like, 4chan thread where a guy was talking about, how do I stop my, like... He was talking about his computer, and he had it open, right, at the desktop. And like it was in the casing and whatnot. And then there was just a car, like a little tiny car, like in it. And someone was just like, why the fuck do you have a car inside your computer? And someone just responds, well, where the hell else will it go after he downloaded it?
yeah, man, you said that's true.
But yeah, Hookie's a great series. Read it. It's also physical now. You can buy it. Oh, it's about these like little witch girl and witch boy that skip school and like. Bunch of shit happens from that one decision.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting. Like it starts off as a very comfortable slice of life, cutesy little story. But it eventually develops into one with like branching plot lines, really interesting character moments,
sad moments, happy moments.
Yeah, they're like, there's a lot going on. It's one of those slow burn stories, which I'm not always a fan of, but I really enjoyed the way they did it in Hooky, just because you have time to appreciate the character interactions and grow to know them. So you actually care when like good and bad stuff happens to them.
And that artwork is just chef's kiss.
Yeah, very, very iconic artwork, very distinguishable, very pleasant on the eyes as well.
But yeah, I saw it at Barnes & Noble as a physical comic now.
That's cool. I like
that. I'm glad.
Come glad up for this. The indie artists.
Hell yeah, bro. Oh, shit, I hit my desk.
How in trouble do you think the indie artists now are with AI. Advancement in AI? Yeah, AI art.
It's funny. I was on Instagram, and one of the artists I follow was actually like posted a little thing against AI art. I'm like, apparently it's like a really big thing in the community right now for them. That it's one, your job lost, obviously. But the other thing is people are complaining that these AR are taking data sets from like random artworks without permission from the artists and using that to actually extrapolate like the data they need to like, you know, draw.
Yep.
Which
is your job getting stolen from you, it's getting stolen from you by using your work
without your permission. Because apparently, like, AI that make music, there's actually, like, things in place specifically that AI that make music cannot take actual copyrighted songs as a part of their data sets. Their data sets are made up of royalty-free music.
Interesting.
And that's, it's for ethical purposes. Read ethical as to protect copyright, but essentially.
Yeah.
It's like a safeguard. There are, like, laws in place specifically to prevent like what they consider to be theft of an IP. That is not existent for the art community, apparently.
Yeah, because typically fucking musicians are much more popular and profitable than, you know, like image artists.
Yeah. Let's be honest though, like these laws don't protect the artists themselves. They just protect the companies that represent them.
Yeah.
And by represent them, I mean like make money off of them.
Laws are only ever made to protect the rich.
Yeah. To be honest though, I don't know enough about the topic because I'm not an artist nor am I tech savvy to like actually make like any actual details. All I know is that I've used AI art generation tools, but for my own personal use.
Yeah, I've tried a few of them out just to see how they are. There's like some quick ones available now that can produce an image within like a few minutes. Those aren't great at all by any means. You're not looking at any fucking, you know, masterpieces with those shits. But the ones where you actually need to like download a program, get data sets pre-installed, and then run through like several different filters and like include all these goddamn algorithms, and they could take like several hours or maybe even a few days to generate. Those are producing like some high quality, really good pieces of art. And the thing is, it started off as limited because they were only able to do, I think, subject pieces. Like you could only do maybe like a single person in a pose. Or a few people or an animal or something like that. But now it's getting to the point where they can add like several different subjects, buildings, different objects going on, actions being taken from the characters. Really interesting stuff.
I enjoy watching those like lyric videos that people are making using like AI generated artwork from the lyrics. I have not seen those. Oh, there's some great ones. I saw one recently for like "Don't Fear the Reaper," and my God, was that like very beautiful.
Oh, you did show me that one. Holy crap!
Very good artwork. Really vibes with Blue Oyster Cult's like sound.
Yeah, AI is scary.
Bruh. Did you guys see the video Charlie did? Voice Critical, where you talked about how game journalists could start losing their jobs to AI writing journal articles.
I did not watch it, but I did see the thumbnail for it.
That's pretty much the same as watching it.
In this day and age, yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
But nothing of value has been lost.
Yeah, honestly, like the mass, or at least a high percentage of popular video game journalists nowadays, it's all just cookie cutter shit. They say the exact same shit about the games. They just follow whatever the popular opinion is and regurgitate it with different words.
90% of it is also politics. Like, and I'm not talking about like politics. I'm talking about like in the circle kind of politics. Like, oh well, we need the game as quickly as possible. Run through it. So you're not gonna as quickly to like generate the report, the review or whatever article just as quickly. And the reason. They never like do any scathing reviews is because they know that certain companies are going to be buddy buddy with them. Here's the game a week before, in advance, so that you can actually go through it and like actually leave a positive review on it on the article. The other thing too, since we live like in such a fast paced like news cycle, they're not taking the time to actually like go through the game, see what's up with it, things like that. You're never going to see
it's
a negative
2 hours,
review.
4 hours.
Yeah, you're not going to see, most of the time, you're not going to see any negative reviews for it. You're not going to see, like, an actual in-depth review for it. I remember the really dumb one I saw recently was the one for, like, Shin Megami Tensei 5. Where, like, this person wouldn't shut up about Persona when talking about it. It's like,
oh, you sent me that.
I'm just like, it's not the same. It's a spinoff of, like, one's a spinoff of the other. But, like, there's a reason why Persona, Shin Megami Tensei 5 is Shin Megami Tensei 5. Someone like anyone who had been like more familiar with the franchise should have been someone who they got in to like make that review.
Yeah.
Cause honestly, this person,
it's like when IGN got a bunch of random people that barely played Fire Emblem games. Some that have never played Fire Emblem games. And they said, want you to review the newest one. and they knew nothing.
Yeah. That was hilarious.
IGN will never be a reliable source for video game reviews.
Agreed.
Fucking.
Did you play Fire Emblem?
Whatchamacallit though? Yeah, it sucks because like a lot of these video game reviewers, like you said, they have such a limited time to actually play the game and review it because it's an industry in which, you know, when a game is released, people are usually looking at reviews before purchasing this type of thing. A video game can really make it or break it based off the reviews and, you know, public word of mouth. So these journalists are racing to get their reviews out as early as possible in order to meet this demand for these reviews. So you're talking about, you know, oh, we made this game, you know, it's a full experience, a lot of work went into it. It's a 200-hour like gameplay experience minimum or some bullshit. Obviously you're not gonna see too many games like that, but then they're like, oh yeah, here's, you know, 10 hours to actually play the game
I find reviews by like independent YouTubers like made a year after the game has been released to be like much more reliable than a lot of these.
Exactly, like the biggest example of that, like the most extreme example of that, right, would be fucking God Hand was absolutely slammed upon release, one of the worst games of its era. And then a few years later, it becomes this cult classic gem. I went back to play it myself on an emulator because I never even knew about the game before hearing about it on like some random YouTube video. And holy shit, was that game ahead of its time. Like, that game is a masterpiece.
What was God Hand on? I know about it from watching videos.
It was a PS2 game.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, what's so good about it?
Very interesting game, I can see. So it was a very flashy, quick, and honestly quite difficult like beat-em-up 3D brawler.
Yeah.
It had a very interesting control scheme, and that's probably the main thing that people got turned off by, and one of the reasons it got bombed so hard by reviewers. is because the control scheme was very, very weird. You had to look and move with your left stick, and your right stick was not used for looking around. It was used to dodge. Like, you would move the right stick in the direction that you wanted to dodge in order to dodge enemy attacks. And then you had like punches, kicks, which you could customize your entire moveset. Like, you could get new types of punches and kicks, and then in the character edit menu, you could select which move you wanted to be, like at what point in the string. Like, what would your first punch be? What would your second punch be? And you could select and choose which move you wanted to use for every portion of your main like attack string. And then you had all these different moves. Very, very cool game, very flashy, very interesting, whatever. But the control scheme is what turned a lot of people off. But once you get past that initial struggle with learning the controls, it is such a unique and really enjoyable experience. Nice. But yeah, like, I don't know. Video games need time to really be reviewed and analyzed before a proper review can be offered.
Yeah, that's true. I wish games these days came out better on release, too.
Yeah, there's so much pressure to release games at a certain time within, like, you know, holiday season or whatever for profits that a lot of these developers don't really
get. That's why I like indie titles. You know, enough time to actually be good. So than AAA.
Yeah. No, for sure. A lot of indie titles simply kill it because it's the full-on passion project where the creators actually have enough time to develop their work.
Are there any studios?
You play any...
What were you going to ask?
I was going to ask you, like, you play any good indie games recently, actually?
Shoot.
Nothing that's not a porn game.
Don't outs me, man. Let's see. Crap. I can't think of any. I don't think Supergiant's indie.
I've been playing Tales of Androgyny recently.
Okay.
Interesting combat system. Do you remember Majalis is a...
Wait a minute. That was the name of one of the Shaolin Showdown.
Was it really?
No, wait. I'm thinking of Malamala John.
Yeah. Malamala John and Majalis. I can see why you get them confused. No, but that's the one with...
I'm surprised you remember this.
Bro, Shaolin Showdown.
Malamala John. I remember that shit so well, bro. Oh my god. That cartoon takes me back.
What a great politically incorrect cartoon.
Really was. What were we talking about before?
Games. We were talking about games, indie games.
Oh yeah, game journalists, and how they suck so bad.
I don't know if it's indie. Oh, yeah, but I've been playing Conquistador Expeditions, or Expeditions Conquistadors.
Is that a game?
What is that?
Yeah, CRPG where you control. It's not too complex, Danny. You do control like a group of exploration on Hispaniola. You got first part of that. I'm only in the early stages of the game. I am doing missions for this governor where I got to fight natives and rebels. But yeah, I mean, you have like different classes. You control a group, so you control them in battle. Sometimes you can set up for battle, like set up traps and shit. You got your hunters who are long range. They use bows and like albacross or whatever the fuck those guns are called. Then you got your soldiers, which can do both. Melee and range. You got scholars, which have like certain buffs and certain things. Yeah, don't know. Doctors, I would argue, are the bigger nerds. Scholars, I feel like, are just like clergy members, to be honest. The doctors fucking heal you, obviously. Scouts are only melee only, but they run a fuck ton. And then there's you, the commander. But yeah, it's interesting. Certain events trigger different characteristics affect like how people react to certain situations. If you're like very nice to the natives, then the racist members of your party are going to be pissed off. Racism is a character trait.
Racism is a character trait.
How misogyny is a character trait in Valkyria Chronicles.
It is, yes. There's also racist characters because there's a group in the game called Darksons.
Yeah,
they have dark hair. I believe they have dark eyes.
No.
And some people just don't like Darksons. So when they're near Darkson characters, they fight poorly, stuff like that.
Your sexuality. Fun game. Your sexuality also plays a part into how well you fight.
Oh,
as well.
Yeah. Some characters do better around women.
And other characters do poorly around women, as revealed with the misogyny traits. And then others do well around men. Jan, which is the greatest lancer of the game, I don't care what anyone fucking says, is a gay man who, around guys, fights better, and around specifically Largo, fights even better. Then who's the one who has a crush on Alicia Dallas or whatever?
I think it is, because there is one girl that has a crush on Alicia.
Yeah, she does very well with near Alicia. And I think does poorly when she's around guys. Or does great when she's around other girls. Fucking. Was that one review? It was like, take your army of cute anime girls and a really cool gay dude to fight off these Nazis invading your country or whatever. Like, make sure to exploit, like, you're the crush of, like, a 14-year-old. Oh, that's the other. There's child soldiers in this game.
Yeah. Oh, yes, there are. So there's, like, 14-year-old to 18-year-olds.
Yeah, and an old guy is also joining in the civilian militia. Yeah. Great game. Highly recommend it. Play that game, skip 2 to 3, and then jump straight into Valkyria Chronicles 4.
Where they add narcolepsy as a trait, and your character can fall asleep in the middle of you moving.
Great game.
That's dope. Yo, I am so hyped to play that now. I would...
Oh, dude, we forgot about allergies. God.
Game of the year. Game of the year. My fucking character was going to run to kill the final enemy and pass down in the middle of their sprint.
I platinumed it.
Yeah, you really did, though.
That shit sounds dope.
Nothing like running across a field and then your character starts to immediately lose health because they have allergies.
Why are you here, you weakling? You genetic defect.
Or worse is like the engineer. There's a few engineers. They're the ones who work with tanks and shit. Some of them have metal allergy.
Metal allergy.
So like if the moment they get near the tank, oh well, guess I'll start to die.
Yeah, you quickly realize your favorite units are going to be the ones that get more aggressive when they get shot at. Random things like that.
Oh, yeah. Where Alicia's fucking days, like, once more with feeling or whatever the fuck. Being extra
she
movement.
She got double movement.
Fucking she starts healing randomly as she gets shot at. It's like, oh.
100% accuracy. It was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, the sniper. The best sniper in the game has a skill where her crosshairs turns into, like, a little dot. So, like, you have... like nice. Pinpoint accuracy for everything, and then
my
you
favorite.
Have like the worst sniper. I think is the fucking Celtic girl.
For my special ability, I'll change your UI.
And they added a character that looked like One Punch Man called Aladdin in Valkyria Chronicles 4.
Bruh.
Was he One Punch?
Knowing I think so. There was another character that looked like Genos.
Nice.
Great game series.
JRPG.
I like that concept of Sorry, what?
Oh, I was going to say JRPGs. I love them.
Yes.
Yeah. I really like that concept of having your characters be affected by what battle what party members they battle with. Like, I don't know if you guys ever dabbled in the Disgaea series. It's one of my favorites. And like early on there was this mechanic that they had in the game. That they still have. They have it in pretty much all the games where it's like a team attack mechanic where basically if you did an attack while you had allies next to you in a certain formation, there was a random chance of those allies assisting you in that attack when you attacked an enemy. And the more you battled with certain allies and the more you did that like team formation attack, the more friendship you would build with those people, those specific units, and it would be and the chance would go up.
I know that Fire Emblem has stat boosts for certain support levels that you build by fighting next to each other.
I think I do remember having that in one of the Fire
I know
Emblems I played.
In some of the earlier ones, they also had like formations from... specifically, the Pegasus sisters, I think it was the early games, had something called the triangle attack. Where if you had them like at three different like points, like a triangle, they all three of them would attack when you fought like an enemy, which was interesting in the first game because it was just a special animation. But like later on, I think like they actually like had like certain things. Then they started giving it to other characters, and it was just like, why? Archers, they got them for some reason, but like, why would you put your archers in that formation to begin with? But
why is one of my archers in the
and then line? Like fucking then they gave it to the slowest units in the game, the armored knights, so by the time you put one in formation, the enemy would have moved on. I don't know what they were smoking when they were like, yeah, this is a good idea, just give them the triangle attack. Everyone knows, like, to become a Fire Emblem fan, you must hate Fire Emblem.
I just maxed out my daughter in whatever one I played. Was it Awakening?
Awakening.
Yeah.
Children
That's all
units.
I got through that game.
Was it, which one did you, marry Crom or did you marry?
Tharja,
right, you played a guy.
I also married Tharja, man of culture. Yeah.
I might have a type, Danny.
I got a type. I think we both got the type.
I married the Shota. Listen.
Of course you did.
Don't look into it. I just need the stat boost for my child.
Yeah, I did it for the stats.
What was it? This is basically Fire Emblem from Jellapocalypse, where like the lolly dragons, like, was like, well, someone has to canonically. Yeah, someone has to canonically have sex with me if you want to recruit all the child characters.
What the fuck? Oh my god, that shit, like, whenever I hear that, oh, you know, she's actually a 1,000-year-old, like, magical whatever bullshit joke used, it always reminds me of, I'm pretty sure, like, neither of you play League of Legends.
No, hell no.
But for anybody who might be watching this that has played League of Legends, first of all, I'm sorry. but I remember when I remember this so vividly because it was such a funny experience for me. They released this character a while back called Zoe, and her character design is literally she's a small little girl and she's like super magical and she has like fairy dust all over her or whatever. I remember seeing that trailer for her, and I was like, oh, and I remember pausing it, and I was like, oh, wow. Like, let me guess, she's like 1,000 years old or some shit. And then I continue the video, and they're talking about her characters. Like, Zoe might look young, but she's actually a 10,000. I'm like, are you serious?
The trope, bro.
Right. I think.
Like, nah, they definitely made that on purpose as a joke. Like, that's so fucking dumb.
1,000 years old.
I think that one dragon series is kind of ridiculous. I can't remember the dragon maid one. They're like one of the characters.
Oh,
looks super young, and then they gave her like huge breasts.
Oh, the opai loli.
Yeah. I'm just like, Japan. Know. What are you doing?
Japan, please. Kanata was cute. She was like she was 300, but she acted like a child. So it's like clearly. Dragons age not only physically but mentally at like a different rate. But then you threw this at us and it was just like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah, Japan be on that weirdo timing sometimes.
That sus timing, more like it. They be on that R. Kelly time.
I like how we keep saying it's Japan, but it's more specifically that artist.
Bruh. Can we go back to like just a cutesy like slice of life shit that we were doing? I don't want to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, Gabe, wait till you watch Edgerunners. Real slice of life.
Oh, yeah. The Rebecca.
You gotta watch Edgerunners for that Spanish representation in anime, bro.
Spanish representation in anime, bro. If I want Spanish representation, I just watch that dude from Baki. Was it Baki?
Wait.
The most free man in the world. The most free man in the world.
Oh, my. You talking about Olivia Biscuit?
Oh, bro.
I'm pretty sure he's not Hispanic. Wait, is he Cuban. Hispanic? He is Cuban. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, he's Cuban. He's Latino, at least. Again.
You're right.
My man, the freest man in the world.
That shit is so crazy. I don't know if you... Have you seen Baki?
No. No.
Tony?
Is that Baki the human?
Very interesting anime.
What's it called? Is it just Baki?
Baki, it's B-A-K-Y. B-A-K-I, sorry. You know, it's a very I don't want to say basic or simple. It's a martial arts anime. There's no superpowers or anything in it. At least there's not supposed to be. I mean, some of the shit they do is basically superpowers, but yeah, it's a fighting anime. Pretty whatever premise. Very cool fights.
But I know any scenes?
Like, story-wise. It's kind of hard to say. There were some, there was a lot of scenes popping up on YouTube from the Netflix series they released a few years ago.
I gotta say, we were talking about CGI earlier. I would argue a clear example of the CGI not done very well when it first was being implemented. Yeah. Some of the scenes are CGI, and it's just like, it's a little like off-putting compared to like the rest of the series.
Yeah. Kengan Ashura and Baki are two Netflix series that are heavily reliant on CGI in some scenes. And sometimes it works, and sometimes it works not as well. But it is good to see them at least developing it more and getting better with it, because it is improving over time.
Horny Chain Boy is a very good example of that.
Oh my god, dude. That animate, dude, MAPPA employees. Like, I am so conflicted on whether or not I'm so conflicted on whether or not I want to just like do nothing and just continue getting this beautiful artwork that they're producing, or if I want to send the rescue team to save them, because they're clearly being trapped and held against their will in there. Because there's no way they're producing this high quality work every week. And still having, you know, free time and social lives.
I remember we were talking about how they censored one of the scenes in one of the early episodes. The one talking about getting a union job. And he's like, huh, I wonder why the anime industry isn't allowing people to talk about getting a well-paying job that's unionized, where workers actually have rights.
Oh my god, that's awful.
Voice actors, too, are another ones that get gypped. At least here in the West.
I feel bad for them.
These fuckers, these animators are just trapped in a basement, like, drawing and, like, animating for weeks on end. They don't even know their family's still out there waiting for them.
Dude, they're producing incredibly high-quality shit. They are definitely making these people, like, millions of dollars, at the very least. The merchandise rights, the fucking Blu-ray's release is going to be big. Everything about this is screaming that it's, you know, going to be big, and it's going to be big for a while. It's clearly a moneymaker. At the very least, make sure your moneymaker is alive and well and healthy. Like, please pay these people properly. Please let these people get rest.
Let them sleep, goddammit.
Because, let them sleep. Like, I know there's always some shit going on in Japan with, you know, workers of the anime industry not being paid well, or just
overworked,
not having fair conditions. Yeah. Overwork is a big thing over there, too. I mean, it's a big thing in multiple cultures, but Japan, you know, a lot of people know about the work culture being very
harsh,
competitive, and harsh. Yeah.
Like the more I learn about them, the more I like realize, I get now why they have such a high suicide rate.
Smoking is big over there.
Jesus, man.
Yeah. People just deciding to up and leave their lives and just disappearing is also pretty big over there, apparently.
That's so sad.
What do they call them, like the vanished people or the evaporated people or something like that? I don't know.
I don't know what you're referring to. People
who had enough, I don't know.
Oh, there's a term for people who do that, Anthony. It's such a big thing over there where people straight up... And the thing is, they just disappear one day and it's literally just them walking away from their lives. Like, they'd rather live homeless.
I mean, it makes me think, not to sidetrack, but it makes me think of those movies that focus on, like, males in a society that just seems materialistic. They hate it. The world's against them. And they just decide, fuck it. Like, they don't care anymore. Like Fight Club.
Fight Club.
Yeah.
And
No, the main villain is always society.
We live in a society.
And rich people.
Even in Chainsaw Man.
We do. Even in Chainsaw Man, just want to
feel some titties, and these people are like holding him back.
I love that about
Chainsaw Man. You owe money, so we owe you. Yeah, it's a very realistic premise. Main character is just like me, for real,
It's a great example of like when people tell you, it's like, you don't need to have like a character some high, like super complicated, what's it called, motivation. I know you were kind of afraid to call Baki basic, but that's not a bad thing to have like a basic premise. Sometimes having like a basic struggle of just like bad guy, good guy is a good thing. I talked to you, Danny, about, and maybe to Anthony too, about like how I love Megatron in the IDW comics because he's such a complicated character. Going from like the Freedom Fighter to Decepticon leader to Autobot, and that's like his redemption arc. But at the same time,
right,
I fucking love like 1980s goofy ass, just like evil Megatron because he's a piece of shit. And also like Prime Megatron, which is just an evil guy, like at that point.
It works.
Sometimes bland, boring characters can be some of the coolest. Like my main example for that would always be like Broly. Like, I know you're not a big Dragon Ball fan, but they had a movie recently that was canonical to the series, in which they remade an old character from one of the older movies that wasn't considered part of the canon. And they did so in an attempt where they gave him some more depth to the character. And that's cool and all, still a great character, but I still love old classic Broly, just the big, like, mean, hulkish, dumb guy.
Whether his whole shtick that he gets triggered by Kakarot's name. Or am I thinking of the memes?
Yeah. No. That's the real thing. He doesn't like Kakarot because when they were babies, he slept in the crib next to him and cried too much.
That's fucking hilarious.
I'm not a big Dragon Ball fan either.
Princess Trunks, you lied. That like a bridge movie is literally my only experience with Dragon Ball.
If you've never watched Dragon Ball, Anthony, I recommend watching Dragon Ball Z Abridged. It is both hilarious and pretty accurate to the original story.
Bruh, all I know about Dragon Ball
Nappa, and he's like annoying as hell to Vegeta.
Yeah. It is amazing how like. Dude, I legitimately do like yearly watches of the entire series from front to back, just because I love it so much. But it is amazing how good that series is and how it actually manages to, in a very quick and compact format, give you pretty much the general synopsis of the original story. It doesn't deter too much from, you know, the basic plot and premise. Obviously, the dialogue is different. Obviously, you know, some jokes are... Well, a lot of jokes are implemented throughout the series, but overall it stays true to the original source material in terms of like the general story, like I said. Yeah. I definitely recommend watching it all if you've never seen Dragon Ball and you at least want to know what the story is about.
Have you seen Hellsing Ultimate?
Awesome.
I've seen a little bit of Hellsing Ultimate, but I've actually only ever seen the full series from the abridged.
I was going to say...
Same creators as Dragon Ball favorite.
Yeah, that's one. Gabe and I actually, like, traditionally would watch that around Halloween. But I've never seen the entirety of the actual show. I've only seen the entirety of the abridged.
So here's the thing about Hellsing Ultimate. It wasn't that great. It was decent. I remember it being a very lukewarm anime, and I remember a lot of other people thinking the same thing about it at the time.
That's subjective.
It was cool. You know, very...
I actually watched that. I thought it was okay.
Yeah, that's my point, Dan.
It was okay. Yeah,
but subjective.
But it's like, you can still like notice when an anime does really, really good things. And it's presented in a really good way. That's like very impressive. I don't know. The anime never really impressed me.
It's one of those things where like... It's not like you had a bad time watching it, but at the same time, it's not something you're going to really think about like years down the line.
Like I remember watching it and not really feeling anything, like just not caring at all about what was going on the screen. But then when the Abridged series came out, fell in love with it.
Good. The clergy members, those were some of my favorite parts.
Life, you, like, you say something in your moon speak. Hi.
Hi.
Oh,
no, that entire series was amazing.
I did hear the ending wasn't that great to it.
Yeah, that was the worst part of it. The anime was like really fucking stupid with the ending.
Did it follow the manga accurately?
I don't know, because I didn't read the manga.
Neither did I. I think it just confused a lot of people.
Okay.
I think they had to like cut out some scenes for some reason or whatever. And it was kind of important to the finale. So there was some context missing for that. And you know, it doesn't matter how good a show is, honestly, if the ending isn't great, people are gonna remember that more than anything else.
Yeah, that's how I remember How I Met Your Mother.
Same.
Great show, but like ending was just like could have been better.
Yeah, the last season seemed rushed.
Never saw the ending for that, actually.
Yeah, you know what it was? I think some of the actors were trying to leave and whatnot, so they were like, fuck, we gotta finish this now. Like, honestly, they could have actually spaced a lot of that stuff more, but I get why.
How did that show end, actually? Because I never...
Oh, so literally, they introduced the mother that same season. Some episodes literally just are like prologues. Last few episodes are prologues. The ending is like the mom's dead. That's why he's talking to his kids about her.
Yeah.
But really, it's just an excuse for him to like ask the kids if it's okay if he goes and tries to date Robin. And that's how the show ends, is him going up to Robin's apartment and asking her out. Which was the end game from the beginning, was like having Ted end up trying to get with Robin. But like, it's just like everything in that last season was just extremely rushed. Like they were just trying to like finish the show.
Seemed like an out of nowhere twist.
Yeah, they meet the mother, he gets with the mom, and she dies that same episode. So like it's just like you just skip the whole relationship. It was just like, bruh.
Jeez.
How I Met Your Mother was an interesting show.
Yeah, funny moments.
Wait, I think they just brought it back. But it's like How I Met Your Father.
Yeah, this is a spinoff.
I fucking hate spinoffs. I mean, I don't hate spinoffs if they're done well, but it's just like, you can't think of anything original.
I like pseudo-sequels more.
No one can think of anything original at the moment.
Yeah, true. You guys should play Dwarf Fortress.
Yeah, obviously you would try to like convert us to that.
Yeah, I'm shilling for Dwarf
you're
Fortress.
You're shilling for
now.
Your people on account of your size, you know?
Yeah, bruh.
I went there.
Oh yeah, well, fuck you. Nah.
Too low of a hanging fruit?
Yeah. I'll just go with a simple fuck you, how do you do?
Fuck you, how do you do? Well, Danny boy, it's been a blast having you on the podcast.
Yes, thank we'll you. Be in discussion later about how to get our idea off the...
Yeah, we'll be in touch about, like, the fishing game.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Gotta start developing that now, come up with some prototypes.
Yep. Me and Danny will probably be lead designer, not Gabe.
No, I'll be the tester.
Yep. Our first consumer test. Beta nice. Testing.
Yeah, see if the anime titties are good enough.
They're not meeting required size.
Yeah.
I need to increase them by about 40%.
Increase this one by 40%. Why the fuck is this a B cup making an A cup? Yeah. Flatter the better.
Oh, we're decreasing.
Flatter the better, you know.
All right. Damn. Someone's got a certain niche. Yes. Right? Yeah, this was cool. Thank you for inviting me.
It's been great having you on.
As always, Danny boy, we enjoy your company. I say that. Appreciate I say it. That, but this is like the first time.
That's the first time I'm here. I was actually always here. I just never talked until
now. Danny's...
They had me tied up and muffled. I was on good behavior this time, so they let me free for a little bit.
That is true.
All right.
Anthony. Thanks for listening. I've been Gabe.
I've been Anthony.
And this guy has been Danny.
Yeah.
Don't forget to check us out on YouTube, Instagram. I don't think we have any. We're on every platform.
Check us out in real life. You know, yeah. Actually, don't do that.
Wise words. Take care.
Bye. Bye.